My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said to Simon, son of Jonah, in reply, "And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of neither world shall not prevail against it." Words taken from today's gospel. Some time ago, a parishioner came to see me, and he was prepared to discuss what his concerns were. We prayed before we began, believing that Jesus was with us. For Jesus said himself, "Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he was, he is in their midst." And so he began with his sharing of his faith experience as I listened carefully. He shared with me his belief in the one true God and in three divine persons and their love that recreated us. And most of all, his profound understanding of Jesus' mission in our world. Then he opened his concern about the church as Catholic, universal, and guarded by tradition. He saw that the tradition or magisterium in the church oftentimes constrained the limitless love of God to the human race. I agreed with him and noted that in the history of our Catholic Church, there has been periods of persecution of the innocent Catholics because they challenged the tradition in the leaders of the church then. We agreed that even in our church today, people who profess that they love God, oftentimes the same people who oppress and hate others, who didn't agree with what Catholics believe in. And that morning, I hope he understood more what the church is all about. I would like to share with you what I was trying to explain to our dear parishioner who came to me and asked about our church we call the Catholic Church. What the church is all about. It is all about God's plan for the human race. In the words of St. Paul in the Ephesians chapter 1, this plan is to bring all creation together with Christ as its head. Thus, my dear brothers and sisters, the first stage of God's plan was the creation of the world. It foreshadowed the church in the same sense that blossoms on the fruit tree and overshadowed the coming of the fruit. The second stage of God's plan took place after the human race sinned. God gave the human race a second chance. Under the leadership of Moses, God led the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt to Mount Sinai. There, God forged a covenant with them, making them the chosen people. The role in God's plan was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. And the third stage of God's plan began with the coming of Jesus. His role was to redeem the human race and plant the kingdom of God on earth. To facilitate the growth of God's kingdom, Jesus established the church, saying, "Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church." The church was to be the sign, an instrument by which the kingdom of God would spread across the world. The fourth stage in God's plan occurred after Jesus rose from the dead, as he had promised when he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." The role of the Holy Spirit is to form the followers of Jesus into the mystical body of Christ. The Saint Paul writes in the Corinthians, he says, "All of us have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit. We are one body in union with Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of the body's life." Saint Augustine made this comparison when he said, I quote, "What the soul is to human body, the Holy Spirit is the body of Christ, which is the church." The soul makes every part of the human body alive. In the same way, the Holy Spirit makes every part of Christ's body, the church, alive with God's grace. The Saint Paul writes again to the Ephesians. He says, "You are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord." And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the church is at the heart of God's plan of the human race. The church was foreshadowed in creation, prepared for in the Old Testament, established by Jesus, and formed into one body of the risen Christ by the Holy Spirit. And this brings us to an important point we must never forget. The church is unlike any other community on earth. The church has two dimensions, a divine and human one. The divine dimension is none other than Christ himself, who is the head and the source of life. The human dimension is the membership of the church. It is you and I. By our witness and worship, we make Christ visibly present in the world. By the human dimension of the church is like everything human. It has its human flaws, even those chosen to succeed the apostles. Thus the church, my dear brothers and sisters, doesn't always show forth the face of Jesus to the world as it should. In other words, the church is like it's one of us. It is still struggling to be what God called it to be. Here on earth, the church will always be a mixture of light and darkness. There will always be enough light for those who wish to see the face of Jesus in the church. But there will also be enough darkness for those whose disposition is otherwise. That's how it should be. The light should never overpower us, take away our freedom. It should only invite us, preserving our freedom. Let me close with a poem that sums up the situation of the church as it exists here on earth. It is from the unknown author, and it reads, I quote, "I think I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still, we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. Amen."